Welcome everyone here tonight. I want to thank those that are here and those that are listening live. And I'm here with Pastor Tim tonight and Pastor Kurt. And we're going to have an awesome night tonight. And one of the things that has been brought to us, and I think this is going to be the discussion, is there's a scripture verse, and I'm going to have Tim kind of start it out. And it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and he's going to start off with verse 1. And I'll just give you the basics right now. I believe that we're in a movement. We're in an incredible movement. I'm not a big end time guy. You know, it's not like the end of the world or anything like that. But I do believe that there is an age that is coming. And I also believe that heaven is going to be working alongside of those that have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. And, you know, we've been talking about this, and we really truly feel that the church, whether it's, or would we say an organized religion, where it would be the Muslims, the Buddhists, the, you know, the Christians, the Judaism, Catholics, whatever bases are out there, really need to step it up. And what I mean by stepping it up is that there is a revelation that God wants to impart into his people that call out on his name, those that want to know who God is, to tap into, but there's a block. How many people would know what this block is? Where God is wants to bring out this revelational knowledge to instruct us, to equip us, to get us ready for this next move, this outpouring, this alteration of a new age, okay, that is coming. What do you think this block is? I'll see if anybody in the audience has any idea. I'm going to tell you, this block is literally having a carnal mind. And God wants us to break out of a carnal mind and have a mind that is spiritual, a spiritual mind. And I'm going to have Tim read this particular part of the scripture because this was highlighted to us.
This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you still are not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?"
Okay, I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop Tim right there for a minute because Right now, Kurt, wouldn't you agree with me that division is just right now in the sense of, well, I'm a Muslim and I'm a Buddhist? Mm-hmm. How about just in the Christian church?
Yeah, amen. You have Methodists, Catholics, different denominations underneath Christianity, but they all separate themselves.
Exactly.
And
right,
they don't accept the other one as a Christian.
So there's like all this different division just amongst us. And if they say, oh, we're not divided, yes, they are. Yes, they are. I mean, it's amazing. What did you grow up? I grew up Catholic. I grew up Muslim. I'm Presbyterian. I'm a Methodist or whatever. It's amazing how there is division and strife just amongst us when you wouldn't even think that there is. You see? And I believe that God wants to put away these differences, not so much the traditions, okay? Listen, if you're a Muslim out there listening, you know, and you are following the traditions and the patterns because, you know, that's what you were brought up, the culture, that's perfectly fine. But I believe that God wants us to open up our heart and work out this salvation that is allowing us to be really unique in ourselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think each and every one of us have a certain uniqueness about them, right? I mean, if let's just take us three pastors right here. Tim is totally unique for me, and Kurt is, you know, unique for me. I'm not like Kurt, and Kurt's not like Tim, and Tim's not like, I mean, you can tell, I mean, would agree with Eric. You can tell that there's a definite, you can, right?
Huge difference.
Yeah. But we have one thing in common, a love for God. And we also know the truth in this love of God. We don't judge each other.
That's where the big thing is. That's where the separation of the church is. It's judging one another and what they believe.
Exactly right.
You know, and the freedom in God and the relationship that you have with the Father when you come to this place, all judgment's done.
Exactly right. When you come to I'm going to say the truth, really.
Yeah,
when you come to the full truth of this gospel that we're bringing, it takes judgment out of one another, out of these things. Now, someone out there might be listening, well, if it takes out judgment, it sounds like you're judging us. You know, I'm a Muslim and it sounds like you're judging me. No, I'm not judging you. I'm correcting you. I want to correct, you know, this division that is amongst us and lay down these different doctrines and really come into the truth, where the truth is there's a place within inside of us. It's a spiritual place. It's life. I think if you log into some of our messages, I know that a couple of weeks ago we started to speak about the kingdom of God and how, you know, this place is inside of us, and it's really life. If you don't develop this life inside of you first, how is your life going to manifest itself? How is your future going to come to existence if you don't have a vision or a dream or a hope? It all starts inside. And, you know, the Bible's clear, and it says that what a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And so I truly believe that, you know, we have to just come to the core of truth. Not like this denomination has truth or this denomination has truth and that denomination and this culture and that culture. And it gets so scattered, I can understand why the world, you know, is really fed up with religion, if you think about it. And the churches are dying all over the place. They're finding all kinds of different ways to build their congregations by having so many different social medias and, you know, coffee clubs and, you know, maybe even their inside AA meetings. I don't know, but
basketball teams.
Yeah, let's build a bigger gymnasium. Yeah, and so, okay, yeah, Tim has an example.
Several years ago, I was dating a woman that was a Christian woman, and she and I hit it off. We're getting along very well, but what separated us was she was so formed and stood by her doctrine. She had this doctrine that, you know, it was an old-time doctrine in the church for Christianity, and we were talking and expounding upon some new revelation that God was giving this ministry at the time, and she couldn't receive it. She was basically saying, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to know it, I don't believe that way. She was just fixated on, you know, the doctrine that she was taught. And I believe that's what separates people out here, you know, because when you're speaking to people and they're taught a certain way and that's all they're going to live by, there's never going to be any growth. They're never going to expand upon the relationship with God. What God ultimately wants is a relationship with you, and he wants to expound upon it all the time because he's constantly dropping revelation. It's a matter if we have an open heart and an open mind to receive it. But there's the churches out there or the organizations out there aren't willing to receive it because they're so fixated on standing upon their doctrine that's what's causing division and strife and envy out here in the world. And it's causing the people that are under their care to suffer because they're not able to grow. They're only given what the ministers or the leaders are giving them, and that's all they know, and that's all they're able to gain out of it. And that's why I think when we were reading this 1 Corinthians, you know, Paul was addressing the Corinthian church and saying, look, I'm coming here to give you fresh meat. I'm giving you fresh revelation, but I can't. You're not able to receive it because of your judgment and your envy and your strife that's causing you not to receive this truth.
Which comes down to where they have that carnal mind.
The carnal mind.
You know, we have to put away these divisions and envy, you know, and things of that nature that is causing us to have this carnal mind and to be able to have a spiritual mind. Yep. This transformation, it's almost like, well, how do you get out of the carnal mind? You know, well, you have to begin to start being truthful to yourself, for one. You know, and also, I believe tapping into your passions. If people are honest with themselves, I believe that they will start looking at some of their traditions and some of the things that they do that are not for them. Mm-hmm. And then they will end up breaking away if they had enough
courage.
That's a good word. If they had enough courage. I know some individuals that got kicked out of families because they didn't quite agree with some of the things that they believed in. And they don't want to be shunned from their inheritance, or they don't want to be kicked out of the family because of a certain thing. So they end up, I guess, just basically dealing with it.
Mm-hmm. They submit to it, not willfully, but out of fear.
And then they get angry. Then this is where judgment starts coming from, because, you know, has anyone ever met somebody that quit smoking and because they had to quit or something, and then you're smoking around them and they're like, oh God, get that thing away from me. You know, you know what, you can't smoke around here. And they just have all this thing again. I truly believe it's just because they have this anger that's built up inside of them because for some reason they had to quit, or
they didn't really want to.
And they really didn't want to.
That's right.
Yep.
And you're making a good point, because if you're sticking around something that truly in your heart you don't want to believe in or hang in there, but you're doing it because it's your mother, your father, it's a tradition through generations, you become angry inside. And I believe people don't even realize where the anger's coming from. So I think you're hitting the nail on the head. When this truth will set you free in whatever religion you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it starts. Mm-hmm. When you have that freedom and you can have that relationship with God, knowing that he's inside you. Mm-hmm. And that there's a purpose for you, for each individual. And then that's where the judgment doesn't come anymore, because I can't judge Tim because I don't know what's in his heart. I can't judge Jim because, you know, I don't know what's in his heart. But there's morals too. Where you don't go around, like, you know, you've spoken before about killing people and stealing and all that stuff. But, you know, we have to, that's where it starts. And I do believe you hit the nail on the head with people, anger building up in them. Because how many times have you gone into a church and people act real nice for a half hour? And then as soon as you come out in the parking lot, they're giving you the...
Yeah, they're fighting.
A nice gesture out the window to get out of the parking lot, you know? And it's just, it's sad. Because it's not, it's almost like you're going there for throwing a calf on the altar, basically.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not a life. Because a true lover of God, it's a life-changing and a lifestyle. Mm. And it is. It's life-changing. And if you're into whatever doctrine you're on, you want to have that relationship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what you are. But.
Yeah. You know, I agree with what you're saying. Like, if you want to be a Jew, you can be a Jew. If you want to be a Muslim, you can be a Muslim. If you want to be a Buddhist, you can be a Buddhist. But at the same time, be that the lifestyle that you want. Like, if you really enjoy, let's just take Muslims. If you really enjoy praying to God,
and that's your customs. You know,
yeah, and that's your customs, yeah. And you enjoy praying. You know, you know, around the clock or whatever they do, you know, throughout the hours or what have you, then that's fine. That's, you know, that's fine. But don't get bitter and angry. And one of the things that I came across one time where there was a woman who actually had affections to a man, and it actually, they fell in love. The problem was is they couldn't tell their parents. They couldn't, because they came from different types of cultures, and they weren't, they got really upset because that person wasn't part of their culture, and they weren't able to get married. And it's sad because they wanted to get married. So what happens is they end up sneaking or running away to get married, and then eventually they, you know, they want to share the joy with their parents and their family, you know. And here they couldn't, you know, they had to basically be shunned and cut off from their family, all because of religion. That's sad. And to me, that's sad. That's not what God is looking for, especially now. He's looking for us to put away these things and become spiritually minded, not carnally minded. And to become spiritually minded, to come out of the carnal mind and become spiritually minded, I truly believe that we have to become honest with ourselves. And when we become honest with ourselves, approve that honesty and follow the honesty. How many people understand what I'm trying to say here? Because I want to really get this clear. And we should be mature that if, let's say, we have elderly people that are in this tradition, because I truly believe that the younger generation and the generation that we're tapping into, like even coming out of my generation, will grab hold of this like you wouldn't believe. It'd be like, I want this so bad. Yep. But then you got the elderly tradition that is bound by traditions, you know, where how many here know some elderly people that are just really stuck in their old traditional ways where they will not part from it one way or another? Amen. Well, see, we even have some people here in the congregation listening. So I know that there are a lot of people around the world that have the same issues and same, you know, circumstances, where I believe that there's just a new wave coming, and this, you know, the old wave's going to die off.
Yep.
This new wave, we hope and pray that this anger releases. Maybe they were victims, and they have to break away from being a victim, forgive, and then begin to be spiritually minded. And to be spiritually minded, we have to be honest with ourselves. And if I don't like wearing black or having, you know, curls in my hair and a hat or something, then you got to break away.
Yeah. Don't conform to what you're not.
Exactly right. Don't conform to that honesty inside your heart. But if that's what you wanted, then fine. Exactly. You know, how many... look, we love our children, and all three of us have children. You know, we're actually blessed pastors to have children, and you know, I know with my own children, I want them to find their own identity within themselves.
Right.
You know, I bring them to the water, but I don't force them to drink what I got. I want them to be spiritually minded and to be tapping into their heart, you know, to tap it. How do you feel? And, you know, however they are, you know, I might say, hey, how you doing today? And if they say fine, then it's fine. I don't want to think, you know, in my own imaginations or anything. Just say they're okay, they're fine. And I'm hoping that they would be honest with me. I'm hoping that they'd be honest with themselves. And so I believe if we can bring up this generation, even our own generation, and begin to start changing the way we're thinking and come out of the carnal mind and become more spiritually minded, because spiritually minded is really being honest with you, open and honest with who you are.
And it starts with the adults. being open and transparent with their children, because mm-hmm. they learn everything from home. They're sponges. So if you're honest and open with your kids, then they'll be open and honest with you. If you're deceitful and hide things from your kids, they're going to do the same, because mm-hmm. they're going to think that there's something wrong with what they're doing.
Mm. That's a good point.
You know? And it's not. You have to let them listen. There's many people out there that are doctors that didn't want to be doctors, but they were forced to be doctors by their parents. And you could tell by their attitudes when you speak to them, there's no joy in their, and when you see them. Mm-hmm. But you can tell the ones that were called to be doctors in their heart because they enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're a garbage man. I don't care if you're the president of the United States. Mm-hmm. You can tell by their peace and their joy, mm-hmm. really.
When you get to that point of being honest and open with yourself and you actually follow that heart that you have, that's where joy and peace gets to be tapped into. You know, we're bringing a revelation that is actually changing the world. Yeah. This is a gospel that's been spoken since 2,000 years ago, but, you know, there's nothing new about this gospel. But man perverted it.
True.
Because of the fact that they wanted control, they wanted to dictate, they wanted to cookie cut everybody. Where this gospel here allows you to be unique, allows you to be who you are, allows you to, but to yet to build a tabernacle or a spiritual place for God to dwell in. Yeah. And that's so important. And in Revelations, or actually it's in Matthew, I forget, Matthew 24. Is it Matthew 24? It speaks about that the kingdom, that this gospel, the kingdom of God, will be preached, and then the end will come. And I find it really interesting that this is what we feel really strong in our heart to push out there so that those that are hearers will be able to hear the message. But one of the strongholds that we're coming across is that they got carnally minded. And we have to break this wall down so that their minds aren't carnal anymore, where they become spiritually minded. It says here in the scripture that Tim was reading that, you know, it spoke about divisions and stuff like that.
Envy, strife, divisions. And it's a result where it says also that for one says, I am of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, but are you not carnal?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're associating yourself with, hey, I'm a Protestant. Hey, I'm a Methodist. Mm-hmm. I'm this, I'm that. You're labeling yourself, and you're not able to become spiritual because you're so carnally minded.
And bringing those divisions.
And bringing the divisions.
Not allowing that honesty to come. Not allowing that honesty to come out in us. Yeah. I truly believe that the honesty within us needs to manifest. It can't be held back.
Right.
We are quenching the spirit. And I believe this is the unpardonable sin, the one that isn't forgiven.
Right.
When you quench the spirit of God within everyone. And I truly believe we all have the Spirit of God in us. How many agree with that one? I mean, it's not like we don't have to have this bright light come down, you know, and hit us. I believe we're born with the Spirit of God in us. We just have to allow the Spirit of God to live. Well, how is that? By being open and honest.
And also allowing your heart.
Allowing that to be revealed in us.
Yeah.
You know, how do you really feel? What do you really want to do? Here, this is what I'm leading you to. You see?
Drink it.
And I hope you drink it. But how do you feel? If you don't want to drink it for you, okay, you can drink it. But I'm sure eventually you'll come to it and drink it. Because this truth here, you know, this truth here is what's inside of us. See, we have a makeup that's inside of us. Our spirit is all crying out, Abba, Father. There is something that is inside the spirit of a man and a woman that is crying out for the universe, crying out for the Spirit of God, crying out for the divine nature. How about everybody looking for approval? Yeah. You see? And putting on their own righteousness. I think this is why a lot of those segregations are started, because they're just trying to figure out their own righteousness when, you know, it might be good for one, but it may not be good for the other.
When you're talking about the carnal, that's where the separations are stuck, mm-hmm. in the carnal, because there is no spirit in that.
None whatsoever.
No, because it's all control and, you know, guilt, shame, and condemnation.
And it might be good for, say, two or three, but it's not necessarily good for everyone.
Exactly.
But this gospel here is good for everyone, because how can you deny allowing a person to have the rights to feel the way they feel? You see, where other organizations or what have you, the carnally minded sects, are telling you have to be this way, yeah. when you might not want to. You see?
Can I say something?
Yeah.
You know, one thing I do know is there's a lot of organizations and religions out there that put an expectation. It's unwarranted expectation on you through laws and doctrines and labels and things like that. And each individual is created unique, because there's commandments from God that are written on your heart that he wants you to follow, and that's what makes you spiritual. When you start following the labels and the doctrines, and you follow expectations and traditions that people put on you, it's all carnal. And there's no peace and there's no joy associated with it. And you're suffering an eternal death. And that's what God's calling us out of, is calling us out of death and into life. Mm-hmm. And the life is in this truth, which is following those passions and convictions and commandments that are written on your heart, so that you can have eternal life now and not have to wait for it, you know, when you die. Because that's another lie too, is, hey, you know what, we're going to have eternal life after we die. No, it's here now. That's why he says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because we need to come out of death. We need to come out of the carnal death, which is, you know, hey, I want you to be a doctor, but you know what? I'd rather be a veterinarian instead of being an eye surgeon, you know? And then they feel condemned because somebody told them to do this, and then they start following it, but there's no peace and joy in it. So now they're not living an eternal life. They're living a death because of a lack of peace and a lack of joy.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the beauties of truth, we'll just call it truth, because truth is within everyone. But my truth might be a little different than your truth based on our passions.
Yeah.
You see? The truth is that we both believe that life is in us. I believe that's why Pontius Pilate said that in front of Jesus. What is truth? Because it's a big question that stirs in everyone. But only you know the truth based on how you feel. What is your conviction? Now, there is a foundation of truth. How do you feel? What is your passion? And then there's another level of truth, which only you know, how you feel and what is your passion.
Sure.
And there's a level of truth with me of how I feel and what my passion is. And that actually comes to the commandments that God has originally written on each and every one of our hearts. This is so important at this time that we're living in this part of the age. You know, there's a movement in so-called, you know, the nations and through politics and stuff,
yeah.
Clean out the swamp. You know, we're cleaning out the swamp.
Yeah.
Well, to believe it or not, I look at it as these denominations, these sects, these different religions or whatever you want to call them, the doctrines of religion, is like a swamp. We got to clean out the swamp. We got to clean it out and bring true truth into it and build a foundation of what we're trying to say here, where the major truth is the truth inside of you. That's the major truth. How many people are understanding this revelation here? It's very important to become spiritually minded, because that this book here called the Bible speaks about you can't have meat. I want to give you meat. I want to give you the deeper things, but I can't because you're carnally minded. Why are you carnally minded? Because you're adamant about your thoughts. You've been told and taught, and you're just stern, and you're bound by the knowledge and the intellectual understanding, and you're just built on that foundation where I want to break the foundation away. I want to crumble it. I want to break it, and I want you to be honest and transparent. I want you to have feelings. I want you to have emotions. I want you to be able to not hide the love that you have. And you can't have love for someone because this person might be an Indian or something. And, you know, Indians can't love, you know, Americans or, you know, whatever it might be, or vice versa. You know, there's too much separation. And I use this particular situation as an example, because love is really a good example to use, especially when you're coming into two different type cultures.
Yeah.
Especially when they're very adamant about their cultural way. And I believe God doesn't want that. I truly believe it. I believe that we're living in a world, in a time right now, where God wants to unify love, and he wants to unify himself with you. With you. Now, the only way that God can dwell with us and come into us is, for one, we have to humble ourselves. So if we humble ourselves, to be honest with ourselves, that's a pretty humbling thing, wouldn't you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then living it and allowing yourself to be expressed out in the world where they're so easily able to judge you.
And not care.
You see, how many people understand where I'm going at? You know, you're wonderful. You're perfect. You got a great personality. We want the world to see the personality.
Right.
Don't hide it under a bush. Don't hide that light that is shining inside of you based on carnal minds. I can't express myself like that. I can't act like that. I can't. I'll be judged.
Why?
Exactly.
Because you're a people pleaser. You don't want to be a people pleaser. You want to please yourself.
Exactly.
And
right.
That's your heart. Not to be. What's the word? I'm like conceited or put yourself above anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to be who you are.
Yeah, exactly right. Through this movement, you can be whatever you want to be. And no one is here to judge you. You want to look like this, act like that. You want to dress like this. You want to act like this. The only thing that we ask is to keep that reverence, love, and fear in your heart. You know, not be like a fool, so to say.
If you can put it in a place that God made you,
mm-hmm,
and granted you that gift of who you are, and really believe it, it doesn't matter anymore what other people think, because who you're trying to please but the Father in heaven?
That's when it becomes a that relationship, right, that we're longing and looking for,
right? And you know, that's why Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do," because,
mm-hmm,
he had that relationship, mm-hmm, and he was being judged left and right. Mm-hmm. Beating them, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do.
Mm-hmm.
If you can come to that place, it's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the scriptures, it says, be transformed in the likeness of God. And I believe the religious church took it as, stop being you and be transformed into what we create you to be. Mm-hmm. Like a cookie cutter. And it's stealing your identity of who you are in God. And God never intended us to lose our identity and lose our passions and lose our who we are as a person, as an individual. But, you know, when you follow those passions and you follow those desires and those commands that are on your heart, that separates you unto holiness unto God. You are becoming holy, and that's righteousness in his eyes because he put those in, passions in your heart. And if you follow it, you found him.
And that's what that scripture really means.
That's what it means, yeah. Be transformed. Be that. Don't become a religious, fanatical, Bible-toting person that's just basically knows up here the carnal knowledge of Scripture, but on the inward, they're not who they are. They're basically becoming somebody that's like this person over here sitting in this chair. You know, I'm trying to emulate like a movie star. Like, you know how you have idols and you try to emulate like a movie star, and that's not really you, but you're trying to be like them so you're popular. Well, that's the way it is in religion. They're trying to force you to become somebody you're not, when God's saying, no, I made everybody unique. Everybody's different, but you have a piece of me inside of you, and that's who I want you to be. Be those commands that are written on your heart, and that's true righteousness that God's looking for.
Yeah, amen. So I guess moving forward, what we want is us to start understanding how to become spiritually minded and not be carnally minded. Because there is a deep revelation in there. God calls it meat. I've been giving you milk, and I want to give you meat, but I can't give you meat because you're carnally minded. God wants to give us some really deep meat to understand who he is, how to dwell with him, how to live out of this world, so to say. To overcome and conquer fear and worry, and to really rest in a peace and a joy, and this is that place that we talk about. There is a place that is inside of all of us, which is your future. How many people understand that one? Okay, if you look back, and you look at your life. You dreamt it first. You hoped it. You desired it. You had a vision. You were able to bring that to tuition, but it first came from within inside of you. And when you're troubled and you have turbulence going on inside of you, you can't really see a vision. You can't really hear hope. You can't really desire anything other than running away from the fear and the worry that you have. But this perfect love that we're trying to bring across casts out that fear and that worry. And to fall into this perfect love, we don't even have to necessarily say, you know, God. First, you have to be true and honest with yourself and love yourself. And believe in yourself, because when you begin to tap into that, you're actually loving God, because it's no longer you that lives, but he that lives inside of you. I believe most of the people out there aren't living who they really are. They're living the traditions. They're living the culture. They're living, you know, the expectations from others. You know, whatever it might be, this has got to stop. Yeah. At this point in the age that we're entering into, this movement that is about to take place, I truly believe heaven is invading earth. This is a revelation that I want to give you, but I can't because of the carnally mind that is out there. But if you can see what I see, we're in exciting times right now.
We're not saying that everybody out there is doing the wrong job or anything like that. It has nothing to do with it. If you're happy with what you're doing, that's beautiful. Yep. Stay with what you're doing. But it's the do's and the don'ts. And the laws that you're following in your heart and in your mind. The furthest point in anybody is from their heart to their head. If we could take this and get rid of it and follow this, we're all in a better place. What we're trying to bring you to, and trust me, we've been battle tested with this. We can tell you through experience in our lives, and we all went through things and still do. that there's a place there where there's no depression. There's no fear. Yeah, there's still issues and there's still trials. But the trust comes from God, knowing that everything is from Him and there's tests in life. And that everything that you go through brings you closer to a relationship with the Father. All the other stuff is just garbage, knowing that He allowed it to happen for your good. Our problem is we can't see it, and we can't see over the mountain. It's a pebble, but we see it as a mountain. But how many times have you got through it? And it really didn't last that long. Our worry and fear make it seem a lot longer than what it really is. Mm-hmm. And then after you come through it and you change the way you're thinking, you're a shiny new pearl in that area. Mm-hmm. So, and you just take it as life. And you didn't make any mistakes. It takes the guilt and the shame away from it. And if anybody ever said, and I don't care if it's a family member or not, if they're putting guilt and shame on you, they're not your family, they don't love you, get rid of them. Amen. Or just, I'm not being harsh, but get rid of them here. Don't take it as a law, but just brush it off and just try to move forward in your life.
Mm-hmm. There's a mystery. And this mystery, the world needs to understand. We're here to give you the mystery. And one of the mystery, the most important one, is we were created by our Creator. The part of the universe that has brought us on this earth. Yes, our mothers and fathers conceived, but our Creator in the universe has brought us on this earth. And with that, He has given us all life. What you were to be, where you were going to go, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. What we don't believe or understand is that He has given us all life. And that all life is inside of us. Remember what I said? Your future starts with a vision, a dream, yeah, an inspiration, a passion. And that moves you to your future, and it guides you and leads you and brings you to where your ultimate outcome is. If we can understand this mystery, there wouldn't be fear. Because you would already know that it already has been given to you, and everything is supplied to you. And there's no need to strive, have envy, anything other than just believing in who you are, yeah, and believing what is inside. And when you begin to follow that, you're actually following or being led by God, our Creator. When we're led by our Creator and we understand this mystery, we're already built with love. We trust and we know that He's going to take care of us from the beginning to the end. Why? Because we stayed on His path. The reason why we have fear, and if fear exists, for one, you don't know the mystery, you don't quite understand the truth, and you've stepped off the path. I believe a lot of people have stepped off the path, and inside of them, they know that they're off the path. And we have to bring them on the path, back on the path. As soon as we begin to do that, and people hear this message, and they apply it, and they get back on the path, all of a sudden, they begin to feel a righteousness. They begin to start feeling good about themselves. They begin to start feeling a purpose. And now darkness doesn't reside and darkness flees because they have a vision now. They begin to start building a passion now. Things begin to start building inside, and that's where a life begins. We're lost right now. The world is lost because they don't know the mystery. We're here to give the mystery because we have been tried and tested. And some of you might know my testimony. I got it a little easier than others. And it was given to me, this mystery. And the mystery was given and passed down. And now we understand. We understand. And in order to come into this life, you have to start out with first being honest with yourself. Yep. Like yourself. Love yourself. And then you'll begin to start seeing everything unfold. Amen? Amen. We're about out of time. I'd like to be here all night, really, to keep going. But right now, I'm sorry, we can only have so much time on the tape. I want to thank the two pastors that joined us tonight, Pastor Kurt and Pastor Tim, and as myself, Jim. And let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Amen. Please join us again on our next round table, and hopefully, you know, we'll be able to have the other pastor here, Pastor Sam, and all of us will be able to chime in on what we got going on. Amen. 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 God bless.